So very appropriate. I just happened to wake up to try to figure out what I wanted to speak about today, and we're really running out of topics, so people should feel free to give in new topics. First of all, it's great to see everybody back after a Pesach. I apologize that I did not give a shmooze last Thursday. It was the first day back. My mind was still in Eretz Yisrael. My mind is still in Eretz Yisrael, which is why the topic I want to speak about now is the importance of living in Israel. That was one topic that was suggested for me to speak about. This coming week, we celebrate Yom HaTzmaut. Makes sense also on that score. I'm sure you're all familiar with the fact that the Ramban counts one of the 613 mitzvahs. The Ramban says that the Rambam left it out. Shichachas Ha'esen, the Ramban counts, and also in his commentary on the Chumash, the Ramban talks about that to live in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. The Gemara in a few places refers to the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, not stam as a regular mitzvah. The Gemara refers to it in some places as a mitzvah rabbah. Certainly on one level, you know, we could understand that it's a mitzvah rabbah because this mitzvah is not just like another mitzvah that you do, but it's a mitzvah that changes your entire identity. Something that affects your whole environment. There's very few mitzvahs that you perform with your entire body. Sukkah, perhaps, is the other one. But very few mitzvahs that require your entire body to be mekayim. The mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara seems to say it's not just another one of the 630 mitzvahs, it's very, very, very special. Right? Some people think it's the only mitzvah of the 630 mitzvahs. That's not true either. There's another 612. But it is a tremendous mitzvah, and a mitzvah rabbah. Of Soloveitchik in a drasha describing why the Lashon Hara of the Meraglim, why Moshe Rabbeinu sent Meraglim, he actually says that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu sent Meraglim, it was akin to the din of the Gemara in Kiddushin, Asalo la'odam sheyikadesh esha'isha ad sheyirena. That a person cannot marry a girl until he can't sanctify a girl until he sees her first. So Soloveitchik said that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was about to create an eternal marriage, a bond between a people and a land, a bond that's so strong that the unaffiliated Jew in the middle of Nowheresville, United States, you know, still somehow feels some tug to put money in the UJA pushka that's on his windowsill. A bond that transcends logic or reason or convenience. So that bond, you had to first, that sanctified bond between the people and the land. So first there had to be like a Maisa Kedushin. So you had to send the Meraglim to sort of check it out. But not to check it out for military reasons. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs military spies. That was the sin of the Meraglim, he elaborates. Them, right? They saw big cities and difficult economic conditions and they saw, you know, but they missed out on what the whole point of what they were supposed to be looking at. They were supposed to be looking at the sanctity of the land. They were supposed to be trying to forge a relationship with the land of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. If you read the Chumash and Bereishis, if you read the Psukim, very Zionistic Jew once said to me, you know, why do I live in Israel? You can't read the Chumash and not live in Israel. You can't read Parshas Lech Lecha, Vayera, Chayesara. But beyond the mitzvah per se, even the mitzvah rabbah, practically speaking, a person's entire life and existence is changed when he has the schus to live in Eretz Yisrael. As I said before, it's a mitzvah that changes the entire your entire body. When a person lives yontif in Eretz Yisrael, the whole country is living yontif. When a person lives like a Jew in Eretz Yisrael, the whole country, even the secular Israelis, many of them, or even those that are don't practice everything, they have an understanding, and many, many of them have an appreciation for what a chag is, for what it means to be the Am HaNivchar, for what it means to be, to live in a holy place. I once heard explained, the Medrash says, Ein Torah ketoras Eretz Yisrael. It's a Medrash like that. So what does it mean? What, Rav Soloveitchik didn't know how to learn? He never learned this. So what, his shiurim weren't as high-powered as all the Gedolei Eretz Yisrael? In terms of lamdus, in terms of the ability to say shiurim, in terms of achieving Torah knowledge, Ein Torah ketoras Eretz Yisrael, what does that mean? So I once heard explained very beautifully that there's two elements to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. There's one in terms of amassing knowledge. That perhaps one could do in Chutz La'aretz just as much as in Eretz Yisrael. But in terms of the Torah's ability to sanctify a person, so in a land that is already suffused with Kedusha, with sanctity at every corner, where, as Rabbi Riskin once said, every rock wears a yarmulke. Amish, every dalet amos is a mitzvah. Every dalet amos of walking, every trumas amaisus, the farmers, the whole land, mimana, afar, yakov, mitzvah, atlius, baaretz, in a land which is so suffused and surrounded with ruchnius and sanctity at all times, so when a person learns Torah there, the ability of Torah to sanctify him, that there's nothing like the Torah that one learns in Eretz Yisrael. Even the sichas chulin, even the seemingly insignificant conversations that people have, everything revolves around Yahadus. You walk through the streets. I just had this chus, tremendous chus to be there on Pesach. You walk through the streets, Erev Pesach. The whole Yerushalayim is one big burning fire of chametz from corner to corner. Everybody's running around with matzah, with wine. The whole, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant for the religion to be practiced, where the whole society and the community are influenced and impacted and have this experience of living together as one, of living in the Eretz HaKodesh, in the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu time and time again promises to Am Yisrael. Now, on a more practical level, so we all know this, right? We all know. We all would hopefully pine, desire, and would want to live in Eretz Yisrael. The question is, how does one decide practically to actually pick up and go? Not so simple. I think the best ha'ara on this regard was made by my brother-in-law, Rabbi Moshe Benevitz, when he decided to make Aliyah. He was a Rebbe in this yeshiva, and he decided to pick up and go. And I remember very clearly when he spoke to the whole yeshiva and explained to them how he made his decision to go. And he said that if a person sits in America and weighs the pros and cons of whether he should make Aliyah, so you're always going to have a lot of pros and you're always going to have a lot of cons. The question is, what was the status quo ante before you made the decision? If the status quo beforehand is, I have to live in Eretz Yisrael, now let me see, you know, whether I should leave. So then you'll have a lot of, on one side, yes, I should leave, on the other side, I shouldn't. But if you start beforehand in America and say, if the question is, why should I go? So you'll have a lot of reasons to go, right, as not to go, and then you'll end up staying. If the question is, if you start with the fact that you have to go, it's a mitzvah. And then you start analyzing, why shouldn't you go? Then you'll end up going. Yes, it's true that in Eretz Yisrael there are problems of parnasa. Sometimes difficult to make a parnasa. A person has an obligation to make a parnasa. But the same Ribbono Shalom that's responsible for a person's parnasa here is the same Ribbono Shalom that's responsible for a person's parnasa there. Obviously, you can't go in blind, but there are many opportunities to make parnasa in Eretz Yisrael. Is it more difficult? Perhaps it is. Although in the current economy, in the last couple of years, it's no picnic getting a job in America either. One could argue that it might even be a little easier now. I remember sitting at my Rebbe Reb Herschel Schechter's table one Chanukah night where he discussed the fact that he felt that a person who's in Chinuch, his Rebbe felt, Rav Soloveitchik thought that one of the few excuses for not living in Eretz Yisrael is someone who feels that his calling is to be Marbitz Torah, to be a Rav, to be a Rabbi, to be a Mechanech in Chutz La'aretz, if a person feels that he grew up in Chutz La'aretz and he, you know, was trained to be able to relate to people in Chutz La'aretz and feels like he's providing a function by inspiring and teaching Torah, doing Hashem's work, Mamish, in Chutz La'aretz. So he thought presumably he was explaining the reason why he didn't make Aliyah, even though Rav Schechter is one of the biggest Zionists you'll ever speak to, one of the biggest Ohavei Eretz Yisrael you'll ever speak to. Many of his children have made Aliyah. But he felt that his tafkid was not to. And Rav Soloveitchik felt that his tafkid was not to. And honestly, the way history has thrown me, I think deep down inside, being honest, I feel, as much as it very much hurts me in a certain way that I'm not living in Eretz Yisrael, very much hurts. But that's pretty much the approach that I've taken personally as well. There are some other concerns. I think it's much, much easier and much smoother for a person to make Aliyah either when he's just married or when he has children, his kids are younger. It is much more difficult once your kids get older. It's much more difficult. I think Rabbi Benowitz went, his oldest son was, around maybe the first or second grade. Even then, that's bordering. Afterwards, it gets more difficult because once a boy tastes that culture of the United States, it's hard to get him to change. There is one, perhaps more major detriment. Those of you who have been hearing my Hashkafa Shmuzes for a while know about my feelings about Tal, and even if you don't, but if you know about my very, very strong feelings about tolerance, about being open-minded, about Shivim Panim LaTorah, that there are many different kinds of Jews, and a sense of Achdus, a sense of tolerance. And the truth is that in Eretz Yisrael, the Hashkafa of Yadus, in many cases, is very, very, is much more polarized than it is in the United States. And some have told me that, my Hashkafa, you wouldn't go in Eretz Yisrael. Either you gotta be hardcore Haredi, or it's difficult to maintain what some might call, whatever you want to call it, a more open-minded approach to Yiddishkeit in Eretz Yisrael. There are communities that have managed to do it very nicely. And I definitely hear that that's a concern. But I feel like if enough people who have that kind of ideology would go, we wouldn't have that problem. And we would be able to establish a community of people who are tolerant, who love from Jews, who love secular Jews, who love all Jews. And there are certainly many people like that in Eretz Yisrael. And we need to all go to be mechazek, that community, if that's our hashkafa, if that's the way we feel that that a person should be. I really think that any person who is a student of history and who contemplates the fact that who has owned the land of Israel for the last 2,000 years, to see that the land that was promised us by Hashem was owned by the Romans, by the Ottomans, by the British, by every country, every rulership, every nation under the world that at one point had ownership, except for Jews, except for Yidden, since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And to think that in 1948 the Rabbeinu Shlom arranged the world in a way that one more time Jewish people have the rights to control, have the rights to rule over the Holy Land. I think it's hard for a student of history to not see that as Yad Hashem. To not see that as Rav Soloveitchik spoke about it in Kol Dodi Dofek. To not hear the knock on the door that the Rabbeinu Shlom's knocking in history, asking all of us to go back. I hope, Bez Hashem B'li Neder, that after this gig is finished, I hope, Bez Hashem, to be able to make Aliyah, to go to Eretz Yisrael, to move to Eretz Yisrael. And I think it's a davar chashuv ad ma'od. It's a mitzvah rabbah, but more than the mitzvah, it has the potential to change a person's entire existence and his entire life, to elevate a person ruchnius wise, to elevate a person. His Torah learning becomes more sanctified. His whole Yiddishkeit, the whole yuntif, the whole experience as a Jew is so dramatically changed for a person who has the schus to live there. Again, I'm not wide-eyed. I don't believe that a person should just go without a plan, without a means of support, without... But once you go, I think the key is what Rabbi Benovitz said. That is, if you assume you're going, everything else, the Be'ez Hashem, will work out. Are there challenges? Are there financial challenges? Are there family challenges? Your whole family lives here. You're going to go by yourself to go over there without any family? It's difficult. Kibud Av V'Em is also important. It's very hard. Hopefully a person goes, he brings his family with him. That's what happens a lot of times. A young, idealistic person goes and the family gets older and hopefully the family follows. I think it's a mitzvah. The Ramban and the Pashas, the Rambam also held it was a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah rabbah. It's a mitzvah that changes your whole existence. It's a mitzvah that gives you a whole different attitude and perspective on life. And I hope that all of us have the plan to go. All of us are going to try to work out to go. And we should all be zoche. And hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see that we have an emesa she'ifa and a desire deep inside for ruchnius to be back in Eretz Yisrael, to hear the knock, to hear the knock of history and to hear the call that we'll go. And that if we all can convince all of us to go, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see that, then He'll send us Mashiach and we'll hopefully be able to culminate the vision that all the Psukim and Chumash and all the Nevuos and Navi have set out for us.